promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a Father and would love us with the love that would not cease.
Well, I tried him, and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. More wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
Soul
ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed when I think the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am,
for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
He's everything.
He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more, more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
He's everything.
He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more.
More than amazing.
More than amazing.
More than marvelous.
More than marvelous.
More than miraculous
could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. That's what Jesus is to me.
wonderful Savior.
Amen.
There's just something about the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm so thankful that someone could put in song the feelings of my heart. Because that song just describes the way I feel sometimes. You know, it's inconceivable. My mind can't conceive it. My heart just, sometimes I just sit around and think where God found me and what He's done in my life. And my heart can't believe it. I'm just so thankful that it's real. Amen. It's real. I get to experience this thing called the Christian life. There's nothing like it. And yet there are people with the stroke of the brush of their life that paint it like it's some kind of doom, no fun. You know, you're missing it. You're missing what God intended the Christian life to be, I can tell you that. I'm going to talk to you this morning about, several things from the Word of God. And then as we close our service, we have a couple of gifts that we want to give a couple of young men in our service this morning. But I want to talk to you about how that you can have a song in your heart. You have a song this morning? I trust that you do. You know, the Christian ought to have a song in their heart. We just ought to be singing. There was a time in David's life when he lost his song. It can happen. It can happen. And he said, I want to tell you about that time. Now, if you hold your place here in Psalm 32 and you go to Psalm 51, David had sinned against the Lord. Now, here's a man after God's own heart. And he was anointed of God. He was chosen of God. And, well, he just got off course. And he done some things that are really unconscionable. You can't even begin to comprehend how that a man could do some of these things. But then when you realize who you are and what you're made of, you realize, and there go I, but for the grace of God. And so you look at Psalm 51, and you find where the scripture, right below that Psalm 51 caption there, it says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And he begins to ask God to have mercy on him. He begins to pray and to confess his sin and to acknowledge that he had sinned against God. And he said, Lord, he said, if you'll forgive me. He said, I want you to forgive me. And I don't want you to forgive me just so I can go on and do what I want to do. He said, I want to change my ways. I want to learn from this, and I want to go forward, and I want to grow. And he said in verse number 12, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He said, Lord, he said, my life's off track. I'm not doing what you purposed me to do. I'm not an example. I'm not teaching. I'm not instructing. I'm not winning people. I'm not drawing people to you. And he said, there's a purpose for that. It's because of the sin in my life. And he said, if you forgive me and you'll restore these things, I know that the joy that comes from walking with you, Lord, the joy of thy salvation will just compel people to follow. It'll draw people to me and ultimately to you. And he said, so I pray that you'd do that. Well, when you go to Psalm 32, you see where it says in Psalm 32, right under Psalm 32 there, it says, a psalm of David, mashkel. Okay, now that word means instruction. Instruction. Now, some people believe that it means instruction or instruction along with a stringed instrument. That's possible. That's possible. So, here David writes a song about what happened in his life. Now, when you go through the Psalms, you'll find some things. And I want you to listen very carefully. You'll find where God said, if you'll obey me, I'll bless you. We're dealing with that on Wednesday night. Psalm 1. The songs open up. Blessed is the man, right? Blessed is the man. And it begins to talk about how you can be blessed. He says negatively, you don't do this in verse number 1, but you do this in verse number 2. He said, if you'll obey, I'll bless you. That's a good thing. Amen? Obey me, I'll bless you. disobey me, there's consequences. But here's David writing this, and he's letting us know something. Because this too is a beatitude. This is how you can be blessed. So we got a lot of folks wanting to be happy, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But I do want to tell you that happiness and holiness go together. Happiness and holiness go together. There are many, many people that are miserable in their life. We're going to find where this man was. And he was because God wanted him to be. Did you know that you could be here this morning and be miserable, and it could be that that's exactly what God wants for your life? Miserable. Hey, preacher, why am I miserable? God wants you to be. He does. Because God's not going to let you enjoy your sin. If you're saved, God's not going to let us enjoy our sin. Amen, church? That's right. And so David said, I'm under pressure. We'll read that in just a moment. He said, I'm under the heavy hand of God. And God said, that's exactly the way I want it for you, son. Because I want you to understand that there is no peace outside of you being in my will. Now, perhaps there's someone in the building today. Perhaps there's someone watching by live stream. And you'll be able to say what David was saying as he reflects back. I'm miserable. I'm out of place. I can't even sleep at night. I can't even enjoy life. Because I know that the way I'm living is not pleasing to God. And God's not going to bless that, brethren. And it is wrong for us to expect God to bless the disobedient lifestyle. It's wrong. It's twisted. It's messed up. Now, while God will not bless it, I'm so thankful God will forgive it. Amen. And that's what he's dealing with here. Look at what he said. He said, blessed is he. You want to be blessed? This word comes from happy. You want to be happy? You want to have happiness in your life? Listen up, David said. He said, I'm going to tell you how you can be happy. Now, you can be happy, Psalm 1 says, by doing some things or not doing some things. By obeying God. But when you disobey God, you're not going to be happy. But you can get happy again. So, you can be happy by obedience, but you can be happy when there's disobedience and there's forgiveness. You can be happy again. Now, here's where a lot of people check out. They're happy, and then slowly they begin to lose their joy. They begin to lose their joy through disobedient acts. That's why I gave you the pamphlet, because it deals with a lot of disobedient acts. See, a lot of people, and we've gotten, and it come from a generation of preaching on things. Now listen, I believe that sin is sin, and we ought to abhor it, we ought to eschew it, we ought to abstain from it. But if we're not careful, we'll think the only thing that are sin is smoking cigarettes and drinking booze and popping pills. Listen, that's sin. It's sin. But jealousy's sin too. Malicious envy is sin. Backbiting is sin. Harboring ill will is sin. Having an unforgiving spirit is sin. See, sin is sin, and sin breaks fellowship with God. I'm afraid that we've got our top 10 favorite sins that we like to write down, and we check off and we say, well, I don't do that, so I'm okay. Well, the Bible says, if there is iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And if you're not willing to forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Pastor David stood up here and he said something that I intended to say, but the Spirit of God wanted him to say it, so I'm going to double it. I'm going to confirm it. I think that the lie of the devil that has crept into our churches is that they need to get right with God. They need to make things right. And then you can put a name there. Bob needs to get right with God. Cindy needs to get right with God. Instead of looking in the mirror and saying, God, what do I need to do to get right with you? What sin is in my life? What sin am I harboring in my soul that is keeping me from experiencing the power and the presence of God in my life? And so we begin to look at others and we begin to say, well, you know, it's this, it's that. If we could just quit, if we could just get people to do this, if we could just get people to do that. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with understanding the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness in the lives of others. But it must begin in the heart of us. And this is what David said. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven And then he said in verse number 1, whose sin is covered. He said in verse number 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So he said, you're blessed in Psalm 1 if you do these things or don't do these things. But you can be blessed after you have broken God's commandments, after you have sinned against the Lord, when you get forgiveness. Now, a lot of people, once they break the commandments of God, once we do things that we shouldn't do, we do what David did right here. He told us about it. You see, in verse 1 and 2, he said, I'm going to tell you how I feel right now. I'm a blessed man. As a matter of fact, you could just about put verse number 11, 1 and 2 together. Because David's saying, because I'm blessed, I'm glad in the Lord, I'm rejoicing, I'm shouting for joy, and I'm upright in my heart. Why, David? Because God has forgiven me of my sin.
Amen.
God has forgiven me of my sin. You see, people that have unforgiving sin in their life, that have not been forgiven, that are not willing to confess, you're not going to have any joy. We've all been there. There's been times in my life where I was harboring ill will, where I was harboring an unforgiven spirit, and God did not bless my life. God would not bless my life because of that. And I'm going to show you what David does, what every person does when we will not confess our sin. Confession of sin is an absolute must to have the blessing of God on our lives. Is there someone here today that you're not willing to confess your sin? That you're not willing to call it what God calls it? You see, we live in an age where we have masked sin. Sin's destroying us, brethren. It's destroying us. We've come up with these names for it. And now we've become comfortable with it. We no longer call adultery adultery. It's an affair. It's not an affair. It's adultery. And God hates it.
Amen.
Fornication. Fornication is sin. Now it's sexually active. It's not sexually active. It might be, but it's fornication. Fornication. And God said abstain from it. Drunkenness. Drunkenness. Well, they have a drinking problem. It's drunkenness. Listen. Drug addict. Pill popper. Druggie. Well, they have a dependency. See, we've got a cute little name for what God calls sin. And we're living in a day where when you mention something, everybody's got a reason why they don't sin. Well, that's not sin to me. Right? Right? I have a disability. Well, if your disability is sin, you're sinning. Amen. I just need to take some classes. I need to build some self-esteem. I need to take some medicine. Hey, we've got these psychoanalysts and these psychologists that have so got us so confused about what sin is. We need to get back to this book and see what God said was sin. And when God says it is sin, it's sin. And it'll destroy our lives. It's destroying us. It's destroying us. Because we have become comfortable with our own sin. We'd much rather point out the sin in other people's lives than confront our own. Now, I'm talking to the preacher this morning, too. You know what I prayed over there? God knows my heart. You know what I prayed when Brother David was praying? He asked us to pray. God, convict me in my own preaching. God, convict me in my own preaching. Don't let me preach at them. Let me preach to them. But God, you preach to all of us. We need to get this matter right. Listen, are you concerned about your country? You concerned about your family? Then let's get right with God. What are we willing to do to show that we're concerned? What are we willing to do? You willing to put God first? You hold any ill will towards somebody? You say, well, I don't think so, preacher. I've done this in our Sunday school class. Really? You hold any ill will? Somebody done you wrong? Somebody hurt you? Somebody really cut you deep? Are you willing to forgive them? So I've already forgiven them. Have you? Are you rejoicing while they're prospering? If you're not, you haven't forgiven them. Does it make you angry when you hear good about them? When their name is brought up, do you get a sour, listen, do you get a sour feeling in your heart? Do you just long for the day when they fail or mess up so you can be glad about it? You haven't forgiven them. Listen to me. Don't you let the devil tell you that lie. You haven't forgiven them. You're bitter. And bitterness will not get God's blessing on your life. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know how they done me. I know how they done Jesus. I know what my sin did to Jesus. I know my sin put Jesus on the cross. And I know Jesus said, I forgive you. No matter how wrong you've done me, no matter how much you've sinned against me, I forgive you. And I bury your sin in the sea of my God's forgetfulness. I remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. Can you do that? Have you done it? Can you look a man who's done you wrong? Can you look a woman? Can you look an individual who's done you wrong? Maybe a parent, maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a friend, maybe a preacher, maybe another Christian. Done you wrong. And you can say, I'm willing to let the past be the past. I forgive you and I'm moving on. If you can't do that, I'm going to tell you something right now. The devil has got a foothold in your life. According to the word of God. For if ye forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you yours. Now I'm telling you what the Bible says. Look at what David said. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. So I want to be happy, preacher. There's three words in here I want you to underline if you didn't do it last time we were talking about this. Number one, transgression in verse number one. Number two, sin. Whose sin? Look at verse number two. Whose iniquity? You know what the word transgression means? It means to cross the line, to break the law, to do what God said not to do. God said, don't do it. You say, I'm going to do it anyway. You're saying, now, preacher, I've never done that. I think you have. Transgression. I wrote it down. God said here about transgression. He said, this is what I want you to know about transgression. The word transgression is to rebel against the right way, to cross the line. David said, you want to be happy? You're going to have your transgression forgiven now. Number two, David said, you want to be happy? Blessed, happy is he whose what? Sin is covered. You know what sin is? It's missing the mark. It's missing the mark. It's falling short of the glory of God. God has a standard. And when we don't meet it, we miss the mark. We fall short of God's standard of the way of doing things. And God said, that's sin. And then he said, iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Look at verse number two. Iniquity. Iniquity is distorted, crooked, twisted. See, sin, brethren, it destroys us all. Sin. We're all guilty of it. Don't think you're in unusual company this morning. We're all sinners. You know what got David? You know what got him? Don't miss it now. Sin will destroy you, but I'm going to tell you something that will take you so deep that it'll be difficult to rebound from this. David sinned against God. You've heard the old saying, to sin or to err is human, right? To err is human and to forgive is divine. You've heard that. Can I add something to that? To err is human, to sin is human, and to cover it up is too. We love to cover our sin. Now we love to uncover other people's sin. But we love to cover ours. We love to make ourselves out to be something we're really not. We love to walk around, you know, and if we're not careful, we'll become like those Pharisees, strutting around, acting like we're something. God knows what we are. God knows what we are. God knows what we're thinking. God knows what we've said. God knows what we've done. Sin. God help us not to take it lightly. It's more than just a three-letter word. There's grave consequences for sin and transgression and iniquity in our lives. And it has to be dealt with. Now, David sinned for almost a full year. You know what David did? He done what maybe somebody in the house this morning is doing. Perhaps someone watching online has done it. He covered it up. He tried to excuse it. Well, you know, she is pretty. Well, you know, I had no other choice. She was with child. I had to put him on that front line. Justifying sin, brethren. We're living in a nation, we're living in a world that is justifying sin. And if we're not careful in the church of the living God, we'll begin to justify our own sin. God, have mercy on us. Sin is not to be covered, it's to be confessed. Sin is treason. Jesus has died for our sin. When I sin and harbor it in my heart and do not confess it, that's treason against the will of God, against the way of God. Jesus died so He could forgive me of my sin. And when I'm willing to harbor it and cover it, it's treason against the act of Jesus to forgive me of my sin. God doesn't smile favorably on sin. God hates it. How about you? I've been asking myself that question all week. Do you really hate sin? I was telling our Sunday school class, some of the things that are going on in our world today anger me. I mean, like, really anger me. And then God spoke to my heart and said, what about your sin? Does it anger you? Other people's sin seems to anger you, son. You seem to get riled up quite bright when other people's wrongdoings and spectacle they make of themselves, you seem to get really riled. Do you get that riled about your sin? How about you? Are you riled about your sin? It's easy to get riled up about other people's sin, isn't it? Isn't it? I don't think there's a person in here that would say, I'm all right with them killing them babies. I hate abortion. It's sin. Now, I didn't say I hated people who've had them. If you've had an abortion, listen, I'll try to help you. I'll try to counsel you. I'll try to take the Word of God and help you to get forgiveness and peace, and God will forgive you, and we'll accept you. Don't misunderstand my message. You can hate sin and still love people. Say amen now. Amen. God does. Jesus does. So don't you leave here and say, well, that preacher, he's a preacher of hate. Yeah, I am, of sin, but not of sinners. I love sinners. I want to see people get saved. So don't get confused now. But what about your sin? What about me and my sin? Do we hate our sin? Or do we justify it? We have to be careful, don't we? I'm going to tell you what we do, whether we hate it or we don't. Or we don't. We cover it. Notice what David said here. In verse number 3, when I kept silence, see, here's where the pain comes in right here. See, David's sin in itself was a terrible thing. But when he kept silence, when he would not confess it, it ate him up. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what the Word of God says, okay? If you're here this morning, whether you're here or you're watching, and there's unconfessed sin in your life, and you're not willing to confront it, confess it, and acknowledge it before God, you're keeping silent. He said, in verse 1 and 2, he said, I'm a blessed man. I'm happy. As a matter of fact, in verse number 11, he said, I'm glad in the Lord. I'm rejoicing. I'm shouting for joy. I'm upright in heart. I'm a blessed man. Why? My sin is forgiven. My sins are covered. God has not imputed my iniquity, in verse number 2, to me. He said, but you know what? It hasn't always been that way. And he takes us back into the past in verse number 3, and he says, when I kept silence, he said, I'm going to tell you about a time when it wasn't this way. I want to tell you about a time when I wasn't rejoicing, when I wasn't happy, when I wasn't forgiven. I was under the burden of unconfessed sin, and I was silent. I was silent. I wouldn't confess it. God dealt with me day and night. God's hand was heavy on me. Listen to me. God's hand was heavy on me. God was burdening me about the sin in my heart, and I would not come clean. What about them, God? Well, what about this? Well, God, you know how I got done wrong. Well, God, you know what happened in that situation. See, we all have ways that we try to excuse and justify sin in our life, and the devil sitting back just smirking and laughing and saying, ha, got him, got him. Why? Because anything he can get us to do not to confess our sin, he knows it's going to ruin us. David said, not confessing your sin will ruin you. Look again, verse number 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. What do you mean, David? See, David believed in what's called psychosomatic sin. You say, that's a pretty big word there, preacher. Yeah, I know. Listen, did you know that your body and my body and my spirit and soul are so close together that one can't get sick without it affecting the other? We're talking about social distancing. I can't social distance from myself. You listening? When I sin, it affects every bit of me. It affects my body. It affects my mind. It affects my heart. It affects my spirit. It affects my soul. It affects everything about me. It does you too. That's what David's saying right here. David sinned, and he said, when I kept silence, it was eating me up. That's for verse number 3. He said, it was eating me up on the inside. My bones waxed old through my roaring. That word means groaning. He could feel it in his bones. You ever heard somebody say that? I just feel it in my bones. Aching, hurting, began to affect him physically. It was groaning. Why? He was not confessing. He was harboring sin in his life. Hey, listen, I don't want that to happen to you. We don't want this to happen to each other, do we? And yet God has laid out a warning here. Hey, the devil doesn't want you to hear this. The devil wants you to leave the way you came. The devil wants you to say, well, I wish this man hurry up. You know, so what? I know about sin. I've been a Christian for X amount of years. I know about sin. My question to you is not what do you know about sin. My question to you is what are you doing with it? Are you confessing it? Are we confessing our sin? When's the last time you got good? Listen, got down on your face and got good and honest before God and said, God, I want you to cleanse me. I want you to forgive me. God, I don't want to sin against you. God, I put other things before you. Lord, I'm harboring some things in my heart and I've tried to justify it and I've made myself think that that's okay for me to do that. Or I'm looking at other people and I'm thinking, well, you know what? At least I'm not as bad as they are. Hey, can I tell you, God is not going to judge us at the judgment seat of Christ on how we compare to others. Our lives are not going to be measured up by what someone else is doing or done or hasn't done. God expects me to do right whether you do right or not. And God expects you to do right whether I do right or not. Say amen, folks. You say, preacher, this is elementary. It's so elementary that our churches are filled with people not doing it. We're sitting around with ill will, spiteful hearts, jealousy, envy, strife. You say, preacher, you sound like the church is getting ready to split. Oh, listen, God has given us great harmony and unity here, but the devil is trying to do everything he can to take our hearts away from the focus of what God wants to do in our lives. He's going to start with you. Who? You. But who's you? You. You. What's he doing in your life? Has he got you thinking that it's okay? Ah, it's just a little sin. So what? They committed a little adultery on TV tonight. Big deal. The world's burning down. God doesn't look at it that way. So they used a couple of curse words. They used some profanity. So they undress. They you know, they're playing man and wife. So I didn't read my Bible today. So I let lost people go by me and never one time offered to tell them about Jesus. So I don't have a burden for the lost people. That's what we have missionaries for. You see how the devil works? We cannot allow this, brethren. Not and be the blessed man. And if I were to ask everyone to stand right now that says, I want to be the blessed man, you would stand. Now, some of you would sit just to try to prove the preacher wrong. That's how much pride you have. There's some folks that are full of pride. It's written all over you. By the way, you don't see it, but everyone else does. Just so you know. Because you can't cover your sin. Because every time I try and every time you try, God uncovers it. Can I tell you, God's in the exposing sin business? You listening? God exposes sin. Now, I realize there are some people that think that they're God's right-hand man and it's their place to expose it. You don't have to expose sin. God does it. Amen. Amen. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring. Hey, listen, I've been in the hospital. I've been in the emergency rooms. Listen to me now. I've been at the crack houses. I've been on the streets. Have you? You seeing them? You seeing them? Some folks, and listen, maybe they're saved. I don't know what's in their heart. I've talked to these people. Some of the people are walking. Listen, they can barely walk. They look rattled and riddled by sin. You begin to talk to them and find out they're 35, 40 years old. They look like they're 55, 60, 70, 75 years old. You know why? Sin takes a toll on us. Won't take a toll on me, preacher. You better wake up, friend. Sin is a respecter of no person. Sin will tear you apart. That's what David's saying. For 1 year, it had that kind of effect on him. 1 year. He just kept it in. He kept silence. He said, I'm not going to confess it to God. Nobody knows. Nathan knew. You think David went to Nathan and said, hey, I've got something I want to tell you. That's not the way it happened. Nathan went to David. You know why? Because God exposed David's sin. Isn't that the way it is with sin? Listen, folks, isn't that the way it is? Don't let the devil lie to you now. See, the devil will tell you, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And God's exposing it. Nobody knows. I'm sure David was walking around the palace like, you know what? Nobody knows. Everybody in the palace knew. Right? Nobody knows. Joab knew. David used him to put Uriah in the front. You think Joab didn't tell anyone? Nathan knew. There's people knew. They saw. You didn't think anybody saw them bringing her in the palace? Right? See, that's the lie of the devil with sin. Nobody will know. Do it just one time. Nobody will know. Nobody will find out. Just you and the sin. One time. It's never that way. It's the lie of sin. It's the lie of sin. And then what? Remorse. Remorse. How many people have laid on their bed? Remorse. 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 Regret. Oh, the God that I had it to do over again. Sin. Sin. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Look at verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Day and night. Day and night. No peace. No joy, no happiness, miserable. Why? Because God wanted him to be. Just like I said, God wanted him to be. You happy? You singing songs when you got up this morning? I'm not a morning person. Yeah. Yeah, I've met those folks. I'm not a morning person. Then you meet them in the afternoon. I'm not an afternoon person. Then you meet them in the evening. I'm not an evening person. Then you meet them at night. I'm not a night person. Yeah. You see, we have these little things that we use and we try to justify the way we are and the temperament that we're in, when really it's just unconfessed, unlamented sin before God, and it's just eating us up. And I'm just trying to help some people this morning. God sure has helped me as I've studied this. I want God to be thorough with me. How about you? If I even look at something and think the wrong thing, I want God to smite me in my heart. If I tolerate something that shouldn't be tolerated, I want God to smite me in my heart. And I believe that I speak to a group of people that do too, but we're going to have to get serious about this because God's serious about it. Day and night, verse 4. Thy hand was heavy upon me. Look at this next statement. What a statement. And listen, we'll close at verse 5. I'm going to preach a few messages out of this. Look at verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. That word moisture is a peculiar word. It comes from the word, we get the word vitality. Now listen carefully. Go home and look at it. So I don't know about it, preacher. Go home and look at it. Life juice. Vitality, youthfulness. David said, I tell you right now, I used to be a well-oiled machine. Now I'm creaking every time I'm creaking and cracking. My moisture is turned. You see that is turned? That means a steady progression. You say, well, preacher, that happens through the normal process of life. David said this is happening way before it should be. Way before it should be. See, sin does that. Sin will take something out of you, is what David's saying. It's just taking some things out of me. I wonder if sin's taking some things out of you. You know, sin is it's a thief. Isn't that what Jesus said the devil was? The thief hath cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. Sin just steals from us. Just robs us. Doesn't it? Sin. So what about it? Is there sin in your life? You're saying, that preacher, well, wait a minute now. Hold it back up. I'm just exactly where I need to be. If you are, that's a wonderful thing. And I thank God for it. But if you're not, it's nothing to really be all ashamed about, because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But you know, even at that, he might just fall. And though he does, he shall not be utterly cast down. God's not going to leave you down there if you'll confess it. God will pick you up, set you back on the path, and establish your goings. Isn't that what the Word teaches?
Amen.
Sure is. But now if we're going to remain silent, like verse number 3 says, and say, I'm not going to talk to God about it. I'm not going to confess it. Rather, I'm going to talk to myself about it. I'm going to justify it. See, that's what David was doing. He was silent, but in his mind, he just kept on and on telling himself, I can't tell people. Then what will they think? I'm the king. Or, it's not that big of a deal. She's pregnant with my child. Right? He probably would have died in battle anyway. My moisture is turned, it's a process, into drought, dried up, vitality, no joy, no vibrance, no happiness, just kind of existing. That's why a lot of people are going through life these days, not living the life, just going through the motions. I know you don't want to live that way. None of us do. And the only way we can be guaranteed not to is, number one, get saved in the grace of God. If you're here and you're not saved, I encourage you to be saved in the grace of God. God loves you now, and he wants to save you. He will forgive you of your sin. That's why he sent Jesus, to die for your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. But I'm glad Jesus didn't stay dead. He was buried, and 3 days later, he resurrected from the grave. And now all that will trust him can be saved. And then when you're saved, you still have a little situation that you've got to deal with called sin. And when we sin, we have to confess it. And if we don't, and we do like David, and we try to cover it, then it's going to begin to eat us up. It's going to begin to take a toll on our lives, and it will affect every area of your life. Sin will not only begin to affect you physically, it'll affect the way that you think. It'll affect the way that you treat people. It'll affect your spirit. You'll have a foul spirit. You ever met someone, and every time you meet them, they're just gruff, rude. So that's just the way they are. Can I tell you, that's not the way God makes a person? I've never met anyone in the Scripture that got saved that wasn't rejoicing. Have you? If you do, be sure to bring them to me. I'd like to know about that. When you get saved, God puts joy in your life. But something comes to rob us of that joy. And then we get accustomed to it, and now we've got this saying, well, that's just the way he is. That's the way he is because he has unconfessed sin in his life. That's just the way she is. That's the way she is because she won't come clean, and she's keeping silent about the sin in her life. God doesn't make people rude and obnoxious. Amen? So what are we going to do, preacher? You painted a pretty ugly picture of sin, not near as ugly as it really is. Not near as ugly. All I'm asking you to do is consider what the Word says right here. Consider it. All right? Well, David said, I acknowledge my sin. Remember those three words in verse number 1 and 2? Transgression, sin, and iniquity. They come back in verse 5. He said, I acknowledge my sin. There's sin unto thee. And mine iniquity. There's iniquity. Have I not hid? I said, I will confess my transgressions. There it is. David said, I dealt thoroughly with it. David didn't do it halfway. God, just forgive me of everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's the reason a lot of people is walking outside of the will of God. These general, flippant, uncaring approach to God. God wants you to call it what it is. You got eyes of adultery? Call it eyes of adultery. You've been stealing? Call it stealing. You've been lying? Call it lying. You've been exaggerating? Call it lying. Amen. See, listen, I'm like you. We're made the same flesh. I would say cutting. We'll see, we bleed the same, but I don't want you cutting on me. You know. You know what's going on. It's sin, and the devil has duped us. And we think, well, you know what? At least I'm not out there on drugs, preacher. Can I tell you there's something worse than drugs? Well, at least I'm not drinking, preacher. At least I don't feel like I have to drink a quart of liquor. That's bad enough. Don't misunderstand me. But don't you think that just because you don't drink or smoke or take a pill that you shouldn't take, that you're where you need to be with God. And God help me not to think that either. Now I want you to stand, and I want to see if you're willing to acknowledge some things. Now this is where the pride kicks in. This is not a sin that we talked about today. But here's what happens when the Word of God is preached like this. Right now, here it comes. You ready? It's probably already begun to work in your life. Like, what's the preacher talking about? What's going on? I'm talking about your sin. I'm talking about my sin. I'm talking about our sin. You know, the thing that we don't like to confront or confess, we want to hide it. We want to pretend that everything's okay with us. If everything was okay, there'd be some things different happening in your life, in my life, in our lives. We've got to learn. This has got to be taken care of. So I want you to bow your head with me. And I'm just going to ask you. You keeping silent? Did God expose some things today? Did He? Did God reveal some things today? I wonder. David's sin made him miserable, but his silence made it worse. What about your sin? You confessing it? Got a short account with God? God brings something to your mind during the song service today? Did He? Did God bring up something? Did He? And said, you know what? This is something that you're doing and you're trying to justify, or I need you to confess this as sin to me. Not the preacher. This is not about me. Did God do it? Did God speak to your heart? You say, well, He did, but I can't let it be known, preacher. You're keeping silent now. You're keeping silent. What about it?